Okay, for a few minutes, I want to just share a word with you from Isaiah 64. And I want to also welcome Pastor Niazi. Yeah, he's going to give us a word tonight, a short word. And then Pastor James over here from Dover Plains. I wonder if you'd like to just say something tonight to the body. Would you like to do that? That'd be great. Okay, thank you. Force or passion, conviction, truth, prayer. So prayer is in the Spirit. We are strong in the Lord, and this is my thought tonight as we had our morning service from the book of Esther. Tonight, I want you to just look at this verse 64 and verse 7. There is no one who calls on your name. There is nobody that calls on your name. Let's do that right now. Lord, we call on your name. For those that are online, maybe some are sick, we call on your name. Lord, I know two brothers in the hospital. Lord, we call on your name. One needs a miracle. A miracle, not from just somebody I know. Just we ask you, God, in Jesus' name, to call on you. We call on your name. How awesome it is that we have your name. We use your name. We know your name. We know who you are, Lord. We know who you are. We know who you are. You do not make our heart to stoop. Heaviness in the heart of man makes it stoop. But you are light, easy, joy. You are divine. You are love. You are freedom. We know your name. You came into this dark world of heaviness, and you delivered people from the devil and from disease and from guilt, and you gave them a new life. We know your name, God. We know your name, God. Oh, God, we praise you for your name. Your name is above every name that is named in this world and that which is to come. Lord, that every day we would wake up in the morning and we would call upon your name. We would fix ourselves on your name. We would talk about your name. We would relate to you and love you and know your name. There is no name like it. Your name is like ointment poured forth. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Your name is as ointment poured forth, Jesus. Unto you which believe, he is precious. He is precious. Thank you, God. Let's talk about it tonight, Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you think that there are none that call on his name? Verse 7, read it with me. There is no one who calls on your name. Why? There's too many other things to do. There's too many other things to talk about and think about. The name of God may be the last thing on people's minds. The name of God. Right? The Jews were so sensitive that they didn't say the name. You know, they didn't say it. And when they wrote it in the scripture, they would wash, write the name, and then wash again. The scribes. So we've read the name. Don't use it in vain. Don't throw it around like it's a swear word. Don't throw it around like it's not important. Like the name of your mother is one thing, the name of your father, the name of somebody important, that's one thing. But this name, this is the name. This is the name that we call upon, we meditate on. He has no beginning and no end. He is everywhere. He knows all things. There's no procession, no progression, no improvement, no devaluation, no improvement, no process. He is infinitely perfect, always has been, always will be. By the way, do you know that he gains nothing by making us? For he's always had infinite glory. He is always infinitely glorious and fully satisfied with himself, infinitely, with no change ever. He changes not. He is God. Amazing. When he made us, is he glorified? Yes, but he always had the glory. He gains nothing. Can he lose anything? Nothing. He can lose nothing. He loses nothing. He gains nothing. Why did he make us? For his own pleasure, based on his own will. He decided to create the angels and to show them his power and his glory because he enjoys community. He enjoys himself. And if he can put himself in his creation and show his wisdom, his majesty, his order, his intelligence, and he pleases to do it, then he can do it. And he has done it. Have you seen it? Have you seen his glory, wisdom, intelligence, order, nature? No. Yes, but no, I have sinned. I ran away from God. I do not understand him, nor do I desire him. Have you noticed that in the world? The sinner is an enemy of God, does not desire God, does not know God, does not understand God. He does not call on his name. His name is not precious. He is not important. The name, no. Who is God? Remember Pharaoh said, the Lord, Moses said, let my people go, for the Lord wants you to let us to go. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I would obey him? In Exodus 5, verse 2. How many people could care less? But he gave us grace. He loved us. He gave us his son out of love. It's a mystery that God would be so humble and take his place at the table. Remember, we said, Pastor Hadley shared it with me in his devotional, that it says in Luke that Jesus took his place at the table. God takes a place with human beings at the table. Like he made the table. He made the universe. His place, he is humble. He is a servant. He came into the world to show us the nature of the God that we are afraid of, and the nature of the God that we don't know, the nature of the God that reaches out for us and calls us and speaks to us, forgives us, draws us near, gives us his Holy Spirit, and puts his Spirit in us. So now we call on his name. Read the next part of the verse. It says in verse 7, there's no one who calls on your name. Let's change that. We are strong in the power of the Lord, in the power of his might, in Ephesians 6:14. Let's change that. Let's call on his name, like Hezekiah when he was sick in Isaiah 38, and 2 Kings, when Hezekiah turned to the wall, he's in bed and he turns to the wall and he starts to pray and he calls on God's name. And God said, Isaiah left. He said, Isaiah, the prophet, said to the king, you're going to die. And then he left. And then out in the courtyard, the Lord said to Isaiah, turn around and go back. Isaiah turned around. And the Lord said to Isaiah, tell him he will live 15 more years. That's an answer to prayer. Has God answered your prayer? Has he given us a good year in the year 2021? Did we survive it? Are we alive? Do we have his nature, his joy, his word? Do we have a purpose? Do we have a message? Yes, we do. Praise God. So let's call on his name and be strong in it. Be persuaded in it. I have some prayer requests in my heart for some things for this coming year. I have some things, Lord, and I'm like stubborn. Like when I get it in my heart, I'm going to stand there and be strong in it. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to push God. I'm going to push him. I'm going to push him. He wants me to. He wants me to. Are you and I generally passive and just let things happen? Or are we proactive? Are we prayer people? Are we resisting evil? Are we saying, no, I don't accept it. I don't believe it. I don't want that. I believe God. This is what he's saying here. There's too many people. They're not calling on me. They're not calling on me. In verse 7, let's go to it. It says, there is none who calls on your name who stirs up himself to take a hold of you. You know, wrestling match. Wrestling match. Take a hold of God. You know, how do you do it? I think put all of our things down and get going with God in the Spirit, in faith, in worship, in prayer. Start to get your focus like a laser beam, laser focus on God and his name. And say, Lord, I believe you care about our country. And we're not backing up. We're not shutting up. We're not sleeping. We're not indifferent. We're showing up. Do you know that a lot of life is just showing up? It's showing up in the Spirit. It's showing up in faith. Just a lot of life is just being present with God in your heart. Isn't that good? But there isn't anybody stirring up himself to take a hold of me. Well, isn't that what Jacob did? Jacob was in trouble with his brother Esau. And Esau, he was afraid of Esau. He didn't really need to be because God was with Jacob. But he's a human being and he's afraid of his enemy. Esau, he knew who Esau was. He knew he was a dangerous man. And so Jacob went to God in a wrestling match. And he took a hold of God. And I'm not going to let you go. I'm not letting you go. I'm not letting you go. Get refreshed in it. Get refreshed in it in your heart and spirit, because I want us, we're a serious people. We're serious, amen? I mean, we are like with truth and just saying, Lord, this is your business. This is your work, and we're believing you for it. And we're coming, we're coming, we're coming. You can't get rid of us. We're coming, Lord. We're coming, just like the electric eye in the door at the drugstore. You're walking across the parking lot, and then the door opens. And that's what I mean when we say to God, I'm coming. The Lord said, I don't believe you're coming. I'm coming. I'm coming. The door is closed. Doesn't matter, God. You better open it up. God, I'm coming. Open the door, Lord. And the Lord goes, oh, I like that. There's something in you. There's something moving, something in you. You're believing me. Remember, Jesus was frustrated with the disciples many times because they lacked faith. How long must I be with you? Haven't you gotten it? Don't you know that this is a thing of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will do this, and the Holy Spirit will answer prayer, the Holy Spirit will raise up people, the Holy Spirit will plant churches in the state of Maryland and Virginia and Pennsylvania and Delaware, and the Spirit of God will send out people. That is what has happened in our history. It happens. And I think it's because of this. We know his name. We're stirred up with the name. Don't get me stirred up with COVID. Don't be stirred up with the fears. Don't be stirred up with death. Don't worry about death. Death has its place. Praise God. That's part of life. And I, by the way, I'm very much aware of the people that are working hard in hospitals and working hard in our community and doing a very good job and doing the best they can, and they're under a lot of pressure. And I understand that. And that's why I want our church to be a place of peace, rest, encouragement, and the name of God is what we need. The name of God is what we need. There's nothing in this world that can solve these problems. There's only a call from God to come and know me. Call me by my name and stir up yourself and take a hold of me. Verse 7. Who stirs himself up to take a hold of you. So there it is. There is no one who calls on your name who stirs himself up to take a hold of you. And I'm preaching this to myself as well, as to all of us. I want to talk to myself about it. I want to have some walks where I talk to myself about what I want, what I want. That's from God. I remember 1989, I was living in Bel Air, Maryland, with our family. We had three children at the time. We had a little dog. We had our Bible school. Dr. Stevens was doing great. The church was here. And I would go for a walk with the dog at night about midnight just to walk the dog. And go for a walk, and I started to pray, Lord, I think I want to go to the mission field. I think I want to go to the mission field. I've been once. I lived in Finland, and that was amazing. But I was starting to think outside the box. But I have my work and ministry, and things are good. But then I was thinking, no, maybe there is something God wants me to do. What do you want me to do, God? And I remember walking and praying. And I started to think of Kenya, Africa. Where would I go? And I thought of Kenya, Africa. And I went to the library and I read about it and I thought a little bit about Kenya. And then I let that go. And then sometime later, months later, a year later, I don't know what it was. Lord, I want to go. I think I want to go. I think it's from you. I do not know, but I pray, please lead me. Please lead us what you want to do. Then I thought about the Philippines, and I really got excited about the Philippines, and I started to talk. I think God wants me to go there, and I thought about it. I read about it a little bit and prayed about it, and then I let that go. Then Pastor Mati came here. And the Soviet Union collapsed. Remember? We started talking. about Hungary, that what we could do if we had a team there. And we started to think about it and talk about it. And then it happened. And we moved there in 1990. I talked to Dr. Stevens about it, and I just saw the whole thing come together. I mean, just pieces. It was so easy. It was so easy. My wife, who's like a saint of God, like, I was shocked. Not really, but I was so happy. I go, Lisa, I think God wants us to go to Hungary. And so she just started packing. We just bought a house. We bought a house in January, and we left the house that August. And if you are a woman, you would know what that would mean. That's kind of like miraculous. My house, I just got it. Just got it, right? Why am I saying this? I'm just saying, the Lord is saying, like, there isn't anybody that's stirred up in this faith. There isn't anybody calling on my name. There isn't anybody taking a hold of me. Everybody, we all have our stuff, problems we're talking about. Lord, give me a parking spot really close to the door. Or, Lord, I need to pay my bills or something. Or it's like the Lord is saying, yes, those prayers are part of life. Yes, pray for your food and when you drive up and down the highway. Yes. But the Lord is also saying, do you know that I raise the dead? Do you know that I heal the leper? Do you know that I raise up disciples? Do you know that I send somebody to preach the gospel? Do you know that I answer prayers that move mountains? Do you know who I am? I am God. I am the God, and all the nations are a drop in the bucket. Listen to this. I am God, and COVID is under my feet. I am God, and I can heal a cancer. I am God, and when you die, I will be with you. And the angels will come and take you away to heaven. I am God. So this is our meditation tonight for a few minutes here. And I want to thank the body of Christ because this is amazing to live with a group of people that have a hunger and a thirst for God in their lives. And one of the greatest problems we have is our failures and our sins and our stuff that happens in life. And we need to know the name of God. The name of God and what it means. I remember your sins no more. I cannot remember them. I cannot remember them. I cannot remember them. I cannot remember them. Yeah, but the sin I cannot remember your sins anymore. I cannot remember them. I cannot remember them. I do not know them. I do not remember your sin anymore. Who are you? This is my name. I am the Redeemer. I am the Savior. I am your Father. I am the one you want, you need. I am God. I am for you, not against you. Please go into all the world and preach the gospel and make my name known. Lift my name up. Lift up my name. Lift up my name. By the way, none of us have any power except Holy Spirit power. And what's the Holy Spirit do? He lifts up the name of Jesus Christ. We just say his name, Jesus Christ. His name. It will resonate in the heart. It will save a soul. The Holy Spirit anoints that. The Holy Spirit promotes him and speaks about him and magnifies him. The Holy Spirit does the work and makes the name of God known amongst men who are dying and great need to know the name, to stir up themselves and take a hold of him. So that's it. This is what I want to do right now. This is very different. I don't think we've ever done it before. But just as God leads you, make little groups. We're going to take five minutes or something like this. Maybe a little longer. Depends how the Spirit leads. Make a group of 10 people. Just kind of gather around. Get up out of your chair if you want. Make a little a prayer group. And just be together. And somebody from the Holy Spirit in your group is going to say a prayer. You're going to say a prayer and you're going to be serious about it. And you're going to say that prayer and the little group is going to say amen. Okay? Okay, amen. Go for it. Make little groups of 5 to 10 people and have some prayer and be serious about it. Lord, we pray you would give us prayer meetings this coming year where we could pray and move mountains, God. Jesus, put your hands on people, God. Oh, God, please overcome evil and wickedness, Lord, in the age. And make yourself known. An evil time. Build us up, heal your people, draw them. Some people in time, in your timing, God, to bring people back to church and bring healing in the heart, in the mind, the soul, the body. Lord, for other churches in the country, for healing to happen, encouragement. For thousands of men and women to be walking with you, thousands, actually millions to walk with you, God, help us all. And forgive us again and again and again and again, and forgive us and restore our souls, we pray. Please, Lord, we need a moving of your Spirit amongst us. And we pray, thank you for what you say, what you do, for reaching one or two. May our evangelism this year be amazing. May you direct us to what towns and cities in Maryland you want us to go and share your word in the region, the Lord. Give us every family here everything they need. Crown us with your honor and teach us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Pray for our governor tonight. Pray for our mayor. Pray for others in the country. Pray for our president. Pray for the times we live in, that we would walk with you. Have the wisdom, the ability to say no, and the wisdom to say yes when it's right to say yes and when it's right to say no. Put it in our soul. Help us. Bless our marriages, our families, our children, our teenagers. In Jesus' name, we pray, God. Amen.
Hello everyone. When I was listening to Pastor Schaller, I went completely blank. I prepared something, just a short message, short greetings, but Pastor, thank you so much. All the thoughts. I'm listening now almost 20 years. I always encouraged. I'm just, all of you, you know, all this, whoever just behind this pulpit and ministering to us, I'm highly encouraged. And I need love. I don't know most of you, but I need love. Without love, I cannot make it. I am desperate for it. Yes, I need attention. I need just someone says to me, hi, I highly appreciate it. I am looking for it. I am running after it. Because if there is no love, this kind of love, that you know what kind of love I am talking about, if I don't have that love, in my soul, this all kind of stuff is growing, that it's really hurting my soul. But if I have a love, if I am loved, I am just growing in this, like, you know, other side. Other things are growing in my heart. It's really ministering to me. And I just want to encourage you, if you are here tonight, just like wondering what is next. As we just heard, God is in control. God knows what is next for you, and He loves you so much. And He loves you that He gave Himself. And, you know, God is love. Bible is the only book that I know says God is love. Isn't it amazing how simple, how deep it is? God is love. God is love. And sometimes I'm doing the love therapy to myself. I say, God loves me. And then something in me, it says, who you are that God loves you? You know, are you sure? And I just say, shut up. God loves me. Because God says, this is love letter of the Bible, that book that I'm reading, it is love letter, right? Amen? So we hear that we are getting sure in our heart, establish in our heart that God loves us. And that's why let's continue. Let's continue to share this love. How many people out there needs love? It works in out there. Do you deserve it? Right away. Do you deserve love? Do I deserve this love, your love? No, I don't. But this is church all about. I get what I don't deserve. I come just like come and get it. Come and receive this love. And I, another things that really encourages me, that John chapter 11, what has happened there? Lazarus was resurrected, right? We all know Lazarus was there and like, just come out, Lazarus. And he was out. So I wonder that, what was the conversation in chapter 12, let's say after that phenomenon, this happened, that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus around the table, what they were talking in the kitchen. He was just kicking to one another, saying that, hey, you are so annoying. What did you say? Like, what happened? You know, family, it happens, right? It's not only my family. All this stuff is like, you know, when I, from the rear mirror, sometime I see, I'm watching the world war out there in the back row. My children are not monster, okay? But sometime I see in me a great monster. So, but, you know, what we would talk about in that table, Mary, Martha, Lazarus, I would look and say that, wow, my sister is alive. God gave him a life, or her a life, right? This is the church all about. We got life. We are alive. Amen? Amen? So we came out from that grave. No more. We don't have anything to do with this death things, right? Oh, Jesus, it is already stinks, already dissolved, death. No, death doesn't have any right over me. I don't want to operate in any dead things. I'm alive. Amen. These people, we need that. I need to hear that. So let's like shout out in these days, because we need life, amen? Zoe life, right? Not the bio life. Bios life we have anyway. But let's have this, amen? Amen? Amen. I love you so much, and thank you for the life. I mean, thank you for the life and love. And me and my family will travel back home. We are home. We are going home to home, okay? We have many homes around the world. And pray for us. And we are in about 30 miles north of Toronto. So we rented a place, as you do. You have your own place, but we are renting a place, and we're inviting people there. And whoever comes, or sometime only us, we open the book, and we say, we are alive. Amen? We can do it together. You're all welcome there. Yeah. Amen.
All right, Pastor Jim Galvo, you're up next. While he's coming, could I ask if there's anyone here for the very first time in a Greater Grace Church service? He came in. Thank you. Thank you for being here. Awesome. We have something for you at the Welcome Center, so make sure you get it on the way out. Pastor Galvo.
Wow, this wasn't on my bucket list. This is what a blessing. Just thank you for being here. I love serving with Pastor Witt in Dover Plains, New York, Pastor Witt and Barbara. I love the body there. I love God. I love God's people. And it's so refreshing to be able to come to Baltimore a few times a year and to be with the body here, to be hidden in the body, to be built up in the love of God, and to hear messages. But to hear messages, the atmosphere is intense, but it's relaxed so that I can receive, challenged but never condemned, and to receive a vision for my life. I need vision because, naturally speaking, I just kind of look down at my shoes and what do I do next? I have no idea, but I've been thinking recently about what Paul said in Philippians 3:8 about winning Christ, gaining Christ. And that means we're going to have to say no to some things. We're going to have to say goodbye to some things. But it's so worth it to make decisions based on who we are in Christ and God's plan for us. And to be willing to pay the price in the temporal world in which we live, because of the eternal value that we gain, winning Christ, gaining Christ, sharing Christ. It's such a great way to live. And I believe that God wants us to be prepared. This is our year. This is our time. This is why we're here, for the glory of God. And it's time alone with God. And as God works in us and God changes us, and then we have the life of Christ that we can share with others. And so to be prepared, because we don't know. We don't know what God's going to do and when he's going to do it. So in our heart, when the red light's flashing and God is on the line and God says, are you ready? That we can say, because we've been prepared, we can say, yes, Lord, I'm ready. Let's go. So let's have a great year in Christ. Let's have a great year in Christ, and let's trust God for everything, not to be fearful, not to be intimidated, but to enjoy life, because we have a great God, and we have the joy of the Lord. I love you so much. God bless. Thank you.